Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot to get to this hour. Julius Randle's back at Madison Square Garden tonight. We'll make our NFL picks. We'll take a closer look at the Ravens against the Bills. But right now, it's that time of day.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com. So if you're in your car, in the trains right now, getting ready, you're thinking, what am I eating? What am I doing? It is divisional round weekend. You're thinking about how I'm going to DVR the games. So I don't have to talk to Evan Roberts, the whole thing. I'm here to give you what I think are going to be the five likeliest talking points on all of the shows you listen to, including ours, on Monday to come out of divisional weekend.
I like this.
All right?
This is Tiki's favorite Cinco gimmick that you have.
Yes, it is.
It's a twist, though, today. I'm not coming up with catchy headlines. I'm just coming up with talking points.
You're not coming up with catchy headlines?
No.
He's getting lazy again, Tommy.
Yeah.
No, because it's different. You know why I'm not? Because the last time I did this, Evan's comment was, we're doing this again?
Maybe I said that with love.
Okay, yeah. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
All right, number five. Should we start prioritizing paying running backs? This after Derrick Henry and Saquon are the biggest reasons for Ravens and Eagles wins.
Yes, I love this.
And it's not just Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. I mean, look at some of the really good running backs that are still playing in the postseason and can still make a huge difference over the weekend.
Right.
You said this early in the season, but we have almost seen the revitalization of the running back.
Mm-hmm. James Cook in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
You got Joe Mixon in Houston.
Kyron Williams.
I mean,
and don't forget Detroit, man.
It looks like Detroit's going to get David Montgomery back.
Yeah.
At least that's what Dan Campbell said.
And you know, Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery ran for a combined like 27 touchdowns this season.
Yeah, dude.
Think about that for a second.
And Jahmyr Gibbs is like the change of protection back,
right?
Change of pace back. He's freaking jacked.
Yeah, no, he's good.
And you know what nobody's brought up, because I never bring it up because it would be me taking an L? Jahmyr Gibbs. Lions spent the first round pick on him.
Well, yeah. you also, right. And I don't remember the stat from last year.
And it was high.
It was like 12? In the top 10, 12, 9 maybe?
9 or 12, whatever it was. It was high.
You brought up a year ago, because I remember a lot of things about how teams that win the Super Bowl don't have this kind of running back. And I forget what it was. It's, I don't know if it was.
Okay, I can tell you.
Yeah, tell me, because it may get blown away this year.
The only one in the last, like, 11 years, I believe, was Sony Michel. I put an asterisk on that. Chiefs with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, put an asterisk. Teams that spent first-round picks on running backs and won the Super Bowl with that running back they drafted.
So it doesn't work because Saquon's on a different team.
Exactly my point. This
Joe
has always
Mixon's
been my
on
point.
A different team.
Yeah.
The only one that's going to work for
Jahmyr Gibbs
and the Detroit Lions.
That's why I'm keeping that one hush a little bit.
That's a good one,
but that's kind of BS-y, if you know what I mean. Because the Ravens and the Eagles' big offseason moves, we're investing in running backs.
But that's the point of the argument. The point of the argument is, when you finally have the team together, that is when you then invest in that resource.
Right.
Not, I am struggling to find talent, and I'm spending a first round on a running back.
It's funny, because I've been asked to do a couple of articles from non-local, but just articles about the resurgence of the running back, and that's my point.
Yeah. Right.
Don't go spend money on a running back until you have everything else.
Yep, exactly. And I don't have a problem.
You know
with
what?
That.
It helps, because even Jahmyr Gibbs, the Lions were on the rise when they made that pick.
Right. Yep.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
The number four likeliest talking point we're going to have on Monday? Evan's going to like this one. Should the Bills fire Sean McDermott?
Oh, God. Don't get me excited.
And
like
Evan,
that.
Now I'm going to take your excitement away. Followed up with, and should the Jets interview him?
Can't have that happen. I can't live in a world in which Sean McDermott is my head coach.
I don't think that's going to happen.
But there comes a point in time with the Bills where you knock on the door every January and you just can't break through. And in this case, to not lose to the Chiefs, to lose at home in the divisional round to the Ravens, at some point you got to start to ask questions. Do I have the right head coach to get me
I think
level?
That if the Bills, and this may not be fair, but this is my view on who's going to take the national heat, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bills lose, it's going to be about McDermott. If the Ravens lose, it's going to be about Lamar Jackson.
Fair or not. I agree. It's almost like John Harbaugh's immune from it.
Yeah, and maybe it's because he's won before.
Well, true.
It's just a big part of it.
His resume tells you that he's a good coach.
Yeah, and Lamar has had smallish moments in the postseason. Mm-hmm. But even if you want to rip Sean McDermott, which I do, but take away the comments that he made, the ridiculous, let me pump my team up by saying, hey, you should be like terrorists, which is what he did. I'm sorry to bring it up again, but it pisses me off so much. No one ever talks about it, so we mention it a lot. It's one thing to rip him. It's another thing to fire him. It's one thing to rip Lamar Jackson. You're not trading him.
No.
Well, like, you can criticize without saying,
right, he's not
fire
going
him.
He's not going anywhere anytime soon.
You're not doing that with a quarterback, but I think
he's likely
coach,
to win the MVP again.
Yes.
Head coach, you could get to a point where you're like, all right, you know.
Is that the right decision, though?
No. But the fact that we're even debating this tells me this could be a talking point.
I think it will be.
By the way, you realize if Lamar wins another MVP, he's basically a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no doubt.
Should be.
Absolutely.
Even if he doesn't ever win a Super Bowl.
I think that winning a Super Bowl is big for your legacy and all that, but I don't think it means need it to be a Hall of Famer.
For quarterbacks,
for a quarterback, yes.
It helps a ton.
Well, think about what they say about Dan Marino. He's one of the greatest of all time. Right. He didn't win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Like, it's his fault.
But I'm just saying, if Lamar Jackson wins his third MVP.
Yeah.
No, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, no, I agree.
All right, here we go.
Number three.
Are coaches too aggressive in big games? Dan Campbell versus Dan Quinn, two guys who love going for it on fourth down. You mark my words. If this game is close and not a blowout, we will look back on one of these guys making a fourth down decision and going, should they have done that?
And I bet they're over under on fourth down decisions.
Five.
Yeah.
Or, you know, basically, fourth down going for it.
Yeah.
That's the fourth down decision every fourth down, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Going for it on fourth down.
In this game, I think you're getting five of them. Because of the two teams.
You are right. You said this earlier
about... I might say over.
It could be. You said this about Dan Campbell. When or if the Lions lose, it will be around some kind of big gamble that he made that can easily be criticized and turned into, he's great and he's a wonderful motivator, but can you win with that kind of decision making?
Hear me out on the stretch. Dan Campbell has a lot of Tom Thibodeau in him in that we know Thibodeau's a really good coach, but his Achilles heel is, do you play the guys too much? Dan Campbell, we know, is a really good coach, but are you too aggressive at times? It cost them already one postseason. Let's see if it happens here this weekend.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Is it ridiculous to have weather affect these playoff games?
I don't do this.
Cue me and Evan fighting. You're going to get heavy snow in Philly. You're going to get freezing in Kansas City and in Buffalo. And if the outcome of one of these games is sloppy as a result of weather, this will be it. Whether you like it or not, this will come up.
The football in general this season, I love the NFL. We're all watching it. The football's been sloppy in general. Using weather to blame it would be kind of lame. Like, the football's been bad all year.
Yeah. I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole, Tiki. The Matt Stafford game in Philly in the snow, and I think it was 2016. You see these clips, they're everywhere online.
Yeah.
Whew. That is not football. Go back and watch some of the highlights, and you realize people like blaming Matt Stafford. That is, if we get 5 inches of snow, that is not real football.
Considering the origins of football, why would you say that's not football? Maybe playing inside a dome with weather control, maybe that's not football.
So change the rule. No more forward pass.
But why you got
to
go there?
You went to the origins of football. So,
okay, so are we supposed to just get rid of the origins of football?
Well, I'm just saying.
You want every team in a dome. It's ridiculous. But that's what you want.
I want every team in a retractable roof.
No. Okay. The weather in Philly is going to be awesome.
Because it could be 40 and light snow and light rain, and I'm fine with that. If you get to the point where you know you have you're shoveling lines out on the field and you literally is affecting the whole, I think it's ridiculous. I think elements should be involved to an extent. That's my point. That's all.
Disagree. What's number one?
All right, number one.
Number one.
Despite 2,000 yards, is Saquon to the Eagles a failure if they lose in the divisional round? They made the Super Bowl with Miles Sanders. Got to get there.
So, the reason why your logic...
It depends on how they lose.
Well, yeah, I mean, if Saquon fumbles three times and it costs them the game,
But there's always a caveat to that. Saquon could be great. But if another part of their team gets exposed, should they have invested more in that resource in the offseason?
The New York Mets don't make the playoffs, Juan Soto has a great year, but they don't make the playoffs. Was the signing of Juan Soto a mistake?
No.
But you see what I'm saying?
Well, baseball's different.
Juan Soto's 26 and you have 15 more years to worry about it. You know these years are very precious, and you never know year to year with running backs and injuries.
But hold on. To your point, Teek, though, football is different, but not that they would lose because of him. There's a really good chance the Eagles aren't losing because of Saquon Barkley, and that's my only point. Like, he's had a wonderful regular season. He played well in the first playoff game. Like, I think you are so desperate to get this victory over Philly.
Mm-hmm.
By saying, you were wrong about Saquon.
Uh-huh.
They may lose and still not be wrong about acquiring Saquon Barkley.
This is why you can't argue that they were wrong to sign Saquon Barkley.
I'm not, because I just made the point about the finishing piece.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, Tiki, is that you listen to me, he doesn't. You at least gave me, even if you disagreed, because my caveat was, should they have invested in something else that cost them over the running back?
And that's why I responded. Yeah. It's going to depend on if they lose, how they lose.
How they lose, right.
Who should they have invested in? Do you have lists of they should have signed this guy instead?
So, I'll give you, I went back on these tapes because I've done this. A big debate in Philly, ironically, was about two Giants guys. Felt a little weak at safety. Should they have gotten paid money to McKinney instead?
Mm. So that's going to be the hill you die on.
Evan,
they should have stole McKinney from you instead of Barkley.
Just know this. I'm not backed in a corner and taking any else. I am until, and now if they win the Super Bowl, big L.
Yeah.
I have an excuse every round, and I'm ready for it. Enjoy divisional round weekend. That's your Cinco.
I know Tiki wouldn't agree with this, but I think deep down in Tommy's heart, he agrees with this. The Eagles' run now is a win-win for us. If they lose, great. We hate Philly.
Yeah.
Very easy.
Yes.
But if they keep winning.
Oh, the mental gymnastics.
Watching this is like comical.
It is. He's planted the flag. And look, I think it's great. He's on the front line here against Philadelphia. The problem is, and you brought it up, is that, you know, they're great and they'll be back next year. But just to see Sean do the mental gymnastics and squirm is great.
Look,
it really is. Yeah, I don't want the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, though. Let me be clear.
I don't either,
but I do kind of want them to get this close. Like, this is even though Sean thinks he's going to get the ultimate victory with that, I don't think he will. I think he needs him to lose, like, this week.
You guys are everything that's wrong. You guys are Carl Anthony Townsend this.
What does that mean?
I'm out here fighting the city of Philadelphia on the front lines, and you guys are just taking it.
But,
you know?
But Sean, I think that I think you represent all of us as Giant fans in the hatred towards Philadelphia. I think you are in the minority now of people that think Saquon Barkley is not any good. They should have signed him, and you're just
trying to
come
off before you make me
sound
like an idiot.
You come off like a jilted lover, if I'm being honest.
First of all, I am. Okay, second of all, if I am portraying that I don't think Saquon's a good player, I think Saquon's a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
You said he wasn't a winning player.
Didn't I take the L on that 2 days ago?
Okay,
yeah.
So I was
wrong.
Keep going. Take more.
That's you're wearing L, but I'm sure you say you're taking the L.
Saquon is a finishing piece on a good roster like Philadelphia. Now go finish it.
Sean. Finishing piece.
Come on. Go finish it. Come on.
All I know is if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, okay, when this show starts at 2 o'clock, welcome to the program.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Tiki?
Yep.
And after Tiki says his piece about the Super Bowl.
Then what, we're going to go to Rosenberg on the other side?
No, I'm going to look at you, Sean, and say, Sean, I got nothing. Just go ahead. I'd love to hear what I'm not adding a damn thing in that open. That open is about you trying to explain everything. And you know what? I don't want the Eagles to win, but I'm here for it.
And there'll be a Miles Sanders tweet somewhere in your queue that will never see the light of day.
You're right. I got there with Miles Sanders.
Well, I will just say this. We will obviously have 2 weeks to prepare for the Eagles in the Super Bowl. And I'll be able to, I think, give a fair assessment on whether I think they win the game or not. You will know I'm panicked if I spend the Thursday and Friday prior to the Super Bowl licking poles on the subway.
And I
give me any disease on the planet, so I am knocked unconscious on Monday.
Well, you'll still be on the air. You could do the show from home. I did the show from home with COVID. I was fine. Like, we did it.
But what if I lose my voice?
Now you still come on. That's okay. Your wife will translate for you. That'll be the show.
Yeah, you give us as many minutes as you can on that Monday.
All right, thank you, Sean. There's your Cinco de Five. He was talking about the weather and how cold it's going to be. Lamar Jackson, and I guess it's because he's from Florida, and I guess it's because he doesn't have a lot of experience playing in cold weather games. But there's been talk about, well, how will Lamar do if it's 8 degrees?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Teague. This does not worry me about Bills Ravens. And I guess the stat is, I'll give you the stat before you tell me your thoughts here. He has a 3-1 record in games where kickoff was 32 or below.
Okay.
But he has never played in a game in which it was 27 or colder. So he's played in some high 20s, low 30s games, and he's 3-1, no problem.
Yep.
But he's never played in 27 under, and it's supposed to be what, like 10 degrees?
Yeah, I think 19 as the temperature goes, and 12 with the wind chill.
Is this a thing?
Not really, because I mean, you feel it, obviously, but the wind is not whipping. It's not like it's 20-mile-an-hour winds. That's what makes you cold. That's what makes it, like, unbearable. Your hands feel like they're freezing. Your skin feels like it's, like, you just want to crawl out of it. So I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. He'll be bundled up. He'll have a big jacket on. It's heated benches. He'll be fine.
So, so just to clarify, Sunday night when the game will be played?
Yes.
9 degrees, wind chill of one, occasional snow shower.
So it's colder now than Kansas City.
Yes, this looks like it will actually be the coldest game of the weekend.
Because yesterday,
potential for snow.
Yesterday, it was Kansas City that was the coldest.
Now, speaking of Buffalo, Kansas City, how cold it is, I'm always curious about this. Like, how hot of a ticket is it? So I got you the get-in prices for all of these playoff games, okay? Which one do you think is the cheapest get-in price? Like, the get-in is the cheapest of it. And remember, if you're forgetting, Detroit, Philadelphia, Kansas City, and Buffalo are the four cities hosting games. Three of them will be in cold to bad weather. One of them is in a dome.
Kansas City.
You are correct. Kansas City at $110 as the get-in price is the cheapest. And it makes a lot of sense.
I mean, cold. Houston's not really traveling. Their fan base, I mean.
Yep. And you know what else? Is a big one. They're saving their shekels for the championship game.
Yeah.
They're arrogant fan base. Yeah,
been there, done that with the division.
True, but I think the get-in in playoffs, a lot of it is the demand from the traveling team.
Okay.
I just don't think Houston's traveling that well.
Which one is the second cheapest of the get-in prices? Very confident about Kansas City. You got it right. You can make a guess, Sean. You seem very excited.
Philly. Yeah, I was going to say Philly.
You say Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say Buffalo.
Philadelphia is correct.
Nice.
$175 per ticket as the get-in.
Again, to me, it comes down to the traveling team.
Comes down to the Rams. You're basically saying they do not have a core of fans that are traveling. There's also a lot of crap. We know what's going on in California, how difficult it is.
So, I wasn't going to say that, but yeah, that's partly it.
I mean, if you were going to travel, maybe you're not.
They don't have a robust fan base because they've only been there for half a decade, and I doubt they're traveling given what's going on.
And maybe the Eagle fan is just like, eh.
But the Sixer fan was the same way. What were the Philly tickets?
Oh, no,
the Sixer fan is different.
I'm going to tell you something right now, believe this or not.
The Eagles, though.
The Philadelphia Phillies get in prices for Phillies Mets higher than the Eagles.
They love that team.
Well, I think, okay, so there's a few factors here.
Yes.
I think
they'd love the Phillies.
They love the Phillies. There are fewer seats at Citizens Bank. There's fewer. Mm-hmm. The weather is better. I'll give that to Sean. Yeah. There's a lot of humans that are not sitting in 20-degree snow.
Right. Right.
That's a bad factors. And yes, Philadelphia, while it's a football town, they love their baseball. But yes, I'll tell you, because I went there and I spent my money. I didn't get any free tickets. I'll tell you what I spent. I sat in the upper deck. It was a lot of freaking money. Mm-hmm. It was well over that number, I can tell you that. So, yeah. Number three is obviously Buffalo. 197 is the get-in. So despite how cold that is, Sean, 100 to get in!
Yeah, well, Baltimore fans will travel not that far.
Right.
But think about it. They're traveling to then sit in 7-degree weather.
Well, I don't think they're going to... That's why it's not the highest, because they're not clamoring to go sit in 1 degree.
Oh, you mean the highest ticket he's going to reveal is the one that's not played in cold weather?
No. The highest one I'm going to reveal is Detroit, and it is monstrous.
Yeah. Do you know the stat behind this?
First of all, I just want to remind you, KC's 110, Philly's 175, Buffalo's 197. The latest I read with Detroit, and this is the get-in price, which means it could be a single ticket in the corner, is $450 a ticket.
Wow.
And before you tell me it's the climate control, which I'm not going to deny, of course, is a factor.
It contributes.
It contributes. That's not the reason. The reason is the franchise. This is a franchise that, unlike Philadelphia, unlike even Buffalo, and certainly unlike Kansas City, doesn't know what it's like to experience a Super Bowl.
And the road team, we just saw them travel to Tampa. Those fans are ready to travel, too.
Give me that number one more time.
Yep.
100%.
The get-in price, last check. I haven't checked in a few hours, so it may have changed.
That's fine.
$450.
Okay, $450. Hold on. $450 for the Lions. When the Jets, at some point, get in this round and host a game, we'll see if it's higher, and that will win the bet between you guys, the debate. Because the Jets will be playing outdoors, freezing cold. Will it be more money or less money?
That's a great question. I'll give you that. So you're saying to me,
yeah,
any playoff game at home, Or does it have to be equivalent round? Doesn't matter.
Fine, let's do equivalent.
I don't think it could be equivalent. I don't think it'll matter, though.
Okay.
Jet home game, playoff
the
game.
Jet so. Number will defeat that number.
We'll defeat it, and it the weather's going to come.
It will defeat it. And it doesn't matter what the weather is. It could be 30, it could be 20, it could be 10. It will defeat it because this fan base is so starving. Desperate and starving and like, give me anything, give me oxygen. And oh, by the way, I'll throw something else out there before you answer.
Yeah.
We are also New York. So whoever we play will have people who live here that are going to want to see that team, whether it's the Steelers or it's obviously the Steelers.
Ravens, the Ravens, of course. Ravens, Buffalo, maybe, or something.
Doesn't matter.
Miami.
Unless it's Jacksonville, there will be people who are also going to try to go because they get to see their team.
So we'll call this a very, very, very long-term prediction from Evan.
We'll call this a bet that we'll never get the results of because God knows the Jets are never hosting a playoff game.
So I just want to tell you how crazy this potentially could be. I don't know if you saw the stat. This game between the Lions and Commanders on an average ticket price in the secondary market is the most expensive non-Super Bowl ticket in NFL history.
Is that right? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
You know what the average ticket is costing on the second? You mentioned Gettin.
Gettin. The average? I mean, $1,000? I don't know.
$1,005.
Wow.
And it is the most expensive outside of Super Bowl in NFL history.
Now imagine if they win and they're playing the NFC Championship game against the Eagles, another fan base that, by the way, likes to travel.
Right.
That number is going to go up even higher.
Lot of money. Boy, that'd be great. You know what? Maybe the Eagles should win. I'd love nothing more than 10,000 Philadelphia fans spending $1,000, traveling to Detroit, cold, miserable weekend, going in there and getting their ass kicked. That'd be a great
weekend.
Wouldn't
you rather... It would probably be more than a Super Bowl. I know it's being arrogant. Wouldn't you rather wait for the Super Bowl? Like, Evan, if it was you... And you had the Jets, Detroit championship game. You got to drop a ton of money. And you said, honey, I can only pick one, Evan. Would you wait for the Super Bowl? Would you go to that championship game? Because you're probably paying the same amount and you get to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you can't take anything for granted. Yeah. I mean, you're a Lion fan. This is what you've been dreaming of. This is what you're thirsty for.
Right.
And you can't assume you're ever going to see a Super Bowl.
What about the Eagle fan traveling, though? Because traveling's a different animal.
No, I'll make you this prediction. If we get Eagles, Lions, there are going to be a lot of Eagle fans there. Because I think the Eagle fan is going to say this, we can't do this.
Right, they're not going to do it, and I don't know if the secondary market is going to allow it for Detroit Lions fans.
No, they can only go so far. The secondary market can't block people. It's more when
I mean, they're not going to be there.
Oh, they're just going to be gone?
Yeah, the Lion fans going to
they're going to eat them all up.
They're going to eat them up.
No, you're right. And look, good for them. And I hope that someday we can pay off the results of that bet. By the way, are you saying, Sean, that the Jet get-in price would be significantly lower than the Lion get-in price?
No, what I'm saying is by the time this happens in 2062, inflation will absolutely have that number higher.
Okay. So you're not answering. You're just going to make an anti-Jet joke.
No, look, do I think that... put it this way. If the game is being played this weekend... Same thing.
That's not the question. The question is, if the Jets host a playoff game, which God willing happens in the next couple of years,
my point is,
what will be a higher get-in price?
I believe
Detroit or New York.
I'm telling you, I believe the Jets, but I also think it's comparison to this year. I don't think the Jets this year would beat that number. Is what I'm telling you.
Why is that?
Because I think weather would play a factor in it. I think that would bring it down a little.
So why wouldn't it play a factor in 3 years? What are you banking the fact the weather's going to be nice?
Because, dude, look at
climate change is going to take hold and it's just going to be 80 degrees. Like, what's your point?
If you went back to divisional round 5 years ago and compared the prices to this year, you want to do a little homework this weekend, I'm sure you would see that on average it goes up and up and up and up.
I don't know if that's true, by the way. I think it matters in each individual case. Like, in the case of Kansas City, Tiki's right. Like, I think the Chief prices 4 years ago were probably through the roof when the fan base was a little bit hungrier. Yeah. So I think it depends on who you're talking about. It depends on the fan base.
I'll take the L if I'm wrong on that.
No, I think you will. Well, I don't think we'll ever find out. I hope we do find out.
You know what? We will. As much as I hate on the Jets, we will.
They're going to host a playoff game?
They're going to host a divisional round game in the next 10 years.
Really?
I'll tell you. You know why? Because they're going to hire Aaron Glenn, and he's going to be a damn good head coach.
I hope you're right. We'll make our NFL picks coming up and our thoughts on the big return of Julius Randle. We head towards divisional weekend here in the NFL. We made our picks on wild card weekend, all six games. Tommy had a good week. He went 5-1. Me and Sean both went 4-2. Tiki went 1-5. So our overall records, if you want to combine the regular season and the postseason, has me just a game ahead of Tommy, 54-39. Tommy is 53-40, Sean is 38-55, and Tiki is 33-60. Hence why he's selling the T-shirts outside of Barclays Center Tuesday night before the big Knicks-Nets game. So as we get set for divisional weekend, I do want to tell you, I did agree, I mentioned this last week, of a challenge that Sal Licata made as the champion of the midday show, challenging me as the champion of the afternoon show. Now, the reason we didn't include the morning show is we found out that no one finished above 500, and that would just be sad. Now, why include a champion who finished under 500? So instead of making it a triple threat dance, it's one-on-one between two people, champions of their own program, finishing above 500. So as Sal likes to call it, it is champion versus champion. And I'll fill you in on what Sal picked. I honestly don't know what he picked because I'd like to be blind before making my NFL picks. But I can tell you he also went 4-2 during Wild Card Weekend. So, Sean, before the picks are done, please find out the picks that Sal made before we're done making picks. Can you do that?
I can, Evan.
Thank you. Our picks are brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the NFL and the New York Giants. Bud Light Easy to Sunday, easy to enjoy by ELEC 825, Building Our Future, and by Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. So the spreads I have courtesy of FanDuel, these are the updated spreads for these four games, just so we're on the same page, has Kansas City laying 8.5, Detroit laying 9.5, the Eagles laying 6, and the Ravens laying 1.5.
6.5 right now.
You got 6.5? Let's do that so we're all even with the hooks. So those are the numbers. We will allow Tommy Lugauer to be in the leadoff spot today if you would like the honor. And let's kick it off.
Do you want Sal's picks first?
No, because I want to make mine blindly, and then you reveal it after I'm done with my picks.
Got it. I'm going to pass on the leadoff spot. Thank you.
All right. Tiki Barber, would you like to go first?
Sure, I'll go first. Give me the Houston Texans. Getting 8.5, Kansas City hasn't really blown out anybody. These are big spreads in these games. I do like the Detroit Lions in a big number here at 9.5, laying that at home. I think they win by 2 touchdowns over the Washington Commanders. Philadelphia Eagles, they're winning, and I think they're doing it by more than a touchdown. So give me the Eagles -6.5. And basically the pick 'em in Buffalo, I like the Ravens. Win by a field goal, laying 1.5 on the road.
So you are taking 3 favorites and a dog. Mm-hmm. Houston, Detroit, Philly, and Baltimore. Sean Morash.
I'm glad you asked, Ev. Man, this is a real hold-your-nose spot, though. I'm going to take the Chiefs to lay the points begrudgingly. I think this is probably a game played right close to the number, but I think they find a way to cover the spread. Also, I'm just going to throw this out there. I'm betting Noah Gray, first touchdown of the game. Check that out. All right, pick number 2. I'm taking the Lions in an absolute. They've been waiting for this moment, waiting for this spot. And I think, just look, great year for the Commanders. They will be back full force next year, but the Lions go, and I think, like Tiki says, 2-touchdown type win. Game number 3, the big slosh, the big snow game. I don't think this game is going to be played in the realm of field goals if the wind is snow, is what everybody's saying. So to me, the 6.5 sort of becomes semi-irrelevant. I think this game is played in 7s and 8s with touchdowns. I'm going to take the Eagles to cover versus the Rams in this spot and survive another week. And then the late game, the Sean McDermott sucks spot. This will be Lamar Jackson's finest moment. And I think we do get a thriller. We may even get overtime. But do you remember Charles Woodson getting smacked by Brandon Jacobs in that NFC Championship game and frigid temps at Lambeau? What's it going to be like tackling Derrick Henry? I think he sets the tone early in that game. I think it's a bruising affair, and I think the Ravens win and cover the 1.5.
There you go. So you're taking 3 favorites and a dog as well. There you go. All right, I'll go since Lugie's a baby. Let me start off with this Chief game. Very conflicted because I believe Kansas City will win this game. I'll start that out right. I don't believe any upsets coming. But they have not been covering all season long. They have not been scoring a lot of points all season long. They've been winning a lot of close, ugly, dare I say even lucky games with a call going their way. And so with that number being at 8.5 and with how good the Texans looked last week, there's a part of me that says, take the freaking points. But the other part of me says, this is a dynasty. This is Patrick freaking Mahomes. This is Andy Reid. This is Arrowhead. This is the Kansas City Chiefs' finest hour. And so I think they're actually going to swerve when we all think they're going to bob. Instead of an ugly, low-scoring affair in which they don't cover, I think this is one of those rare days where they do. Now, I could see being close at halftime, and then they pull it out late and end up winning by 2 scores. But in game number 1, I am with Sean Morash. You pick Kansas City?
I did. You
also, I am with you. What?
You said I picked three favorites, one dog. I picked all the favorites.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I see that now. I'm looking at my chart. I'm taking the Chiefs. They are going to remind you just, in fact, who the hell they are. Give me Kansas City laying the 8.5 in game number one. Game number two. Listen, I would love to see the Commanders win. I would love to see Jaden Daniels go on this incredible run. I really would. I don't see it happening. I think the Lions are going to be stopped at some point. I don't think it's happening on Saturday night in Detroit. It is going to be a raucous crowd. They are well-rested and healthier with David Montgomery coming back. I think this is going to be a romp. I don't think this game is going to be close at all. I think it's going to be a nice, easy Saturday night. Give me the Lions laying the 9.5 in game number two. Let's get to the Eagle game. So, from the beginning of the season, I've been on the Ram wagon. I've been believing that they are the team to come out of the NFC. And I'm only further emboldened by it. They have found ways to win in the second half of the year. They have found ways to win close, low-scoring games. And there was something off about the Eagles last week. Can we not just ignore the fact that A.J. Brown was reading a freaking book on the sidelines? Like, that was not the most dominant, inspirational Philly playoff win. There's something off about them. And I think you're going to see it in front of a booing crowd in Philadelphia on Sunday. I think we're going to hear we heard that actually last weekend, too. They were booing on some punts, on some drives going nowhere. I think Sean's going to get what he wants. I think the Rams are covering the number. I think they're going to win this game outright. They're going to upset the Philadelphia Eagles.
Don't tickle me.
Oh, I'm tickling, big boy.
Don't you tickle me.
Give me the L.A. Rams getting the 6.5 in game number three. Now, let me get to the Raven-Bill game. This sucks, bro. This sucks. And I'll tell you why this sucks. I like Lamar Jackson. I hate Sean McDermott. I don't like the Bills Mafia. Oh, I think the Ravens are about to go into a buzzsaw. I think two things that are going to happen that no one sees coming. Number one, Derrick Henry's going to be slowed down. I know that sounds nuts. This is a healthier Bill team than the one that the Ravens saw earlier this season. I think Derrick Henry is going to be bottled up. I think he's going to be slowed down. And you know what? He's 30. How old is he? 30 or 31? He's 30.
31, he just turned.
All those hits. I think we are going to see an oldish version of Derrick Henry. That's number one. Number two, I hate this because I really like Lamar. I think he's going to give you another playoff dud. And I think that's going to be the talking point all offseason. I want to be wrong about this game. I really do. The Buffalo Bills are winning this game. And oh, by the way, I'm getting 1.5, which doesn't even matter. Like, that spread I kind of ignored. I looked at it and said, it's basically a pick 'em. Who do I think is going to win? I think the Bills are going to win. And I get the vibe everyone's picking Buffalo. Like, I'm sorry, everyone's picking Baltimore. Like, I get the vibe that everyone just thinks, this is it. Ravens are going to win. I don't see it. Give me the Buffalo Bills getting the 1.5 at home against the Baltimore Ravens. So I am taking two dogs and two favorites. The Chiefs laying the 8.5. The Lions laying the 9.5. The Rams getting the 7.5. Buffalo getting the 1.5. Now, real quick before Tommy makes his picks, I'm going champion versus the midday Sal Licata. What are his picks so I know what our differences are?
Sal Licata is on the Texans in game number one.
How about that? All right, a little head-to-head.
Sal Licata is on the Lions in game number two.
All right, fine.
Sal Licata is singing We Are Ram-A-Lee in game number three.
Yeah, we're with him on that.
And cuckoo, cuckoo, Sal is a Raven in game number four.
So we got two little head-to-heads between me and Sal. We'll see how that plays out. Now let's go to the first loser of the afternoon show. He lost to me in the regular season, but he's still making picks, which is cute. Tommy Lugauer.
Yep, if you're not first, you're last. Game number one, I'm with Sean and I'm with Evan. The Chiefs will win. They will cover this number. The Chiefs, to me, at the end of the year, obviously the game where they sat all their players out notwithstanding, you started to see this offense percolate. Now you're looking at Worthy. You're looking at Hollywood Brown. You're looking at Pacheco, Hunt, Kelce, especially in the playoffs. I'm forgetting somebody else. Hopkins, they have a lot of weapons here at their disposal, and I think the Chiefs have a much better offense than they had last year, a team that won the Super Bowl. The Ravens, to me, feel like that trendy team. They got that win, and everybody will take them this week, and I think the Chiefs will get some calls, and they will cover the number. Game number two. I would love to pick the Commanders outright. I really would. Problem is, the Commanders don't have a good a run defense. And when you have Montgomery, you have Gibbs, Sonic and Knuckles, let me just, with all due respect to our teammate Tiki, to me is the best name for a running back tandem, I think, in the history of the NFL. I love that. So it's great to see them back. I think they'll just run it down the Commanders' throats. The only thing I will say this to everybody here, We may look back on this because we all picked against him last week. We're all picking against him this week. We may be like, we're idiots. Remember when we picked against Jaden Daniels?
Yeah.
If he becomes the next Patrick Mahomes and the great quarterback in this league, we'll look like idiots. But this is Detroit's time. And I thought the defense played well against Sam, even though Sam looked bad the next game, so maybe it wasn't the Lions' defense. I still think Detroit has their moment. I worry about a backdoor cover, but I think that they win the game and they cover the number of the Lions. That's game number two. Game number three. Boy, the Rams feel trendy here, don't they? They have the better head coach. They have the better quarterback. They might even have the better wide receivers. They don't have the better running back, even though I think Kyren Williams is great. So it feels like this is the trendy play, but I'm with Evan. I don't know if they win the game, but I'll take the 6.5, even though I feel like they're begging you to take the Rams. That's game number three. Game number four, the main event of the weekend. Man, Evan, you made a compelling argument for the Bills. I've loved the Ravens all week. Josh Allen, though, could have that kind of game. I'm gonna stick with the Ravens for this fact. Derrick Henry, whether he was on the Titans, he has owned the Bills. And I just think that rushing attack is just going to be too much for the Bills, too much for that defense. And McDermott, obviously, we know he's a total clown, is a bad head coach. I have the better head coach. I have the better rushing attack, even if it's slightly, because Cook and Allen are very good. I just think the Ravens are the better team. And in this spot, I like the Ravens to cover the number, to win the game outright. So give me the Ravens in game number four.
We've got four games this weekend. Next weekend, we have two games. And then it's down to one. So what's very important is to appreciate the football that we have in front of us. Because it's going to be over soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do we have? What do we have? We got basketball. We got hockey. We're thinking about spring training. I mean, it's just...
Hockey's taking like a 5-week break.
Yeah, that's right. So, why are they doing that again? Stupid.
The Four Nations Face-Off is coming up in mid-February.
The Four Nation. What is that? The World Baseball Classic of hockey?
Yeah, except they do it in season.
Is this new?
Yes. So basically, the NHL players didn't like that they were frozen out of the Olympics last go-around, Gary Bettman came to a deal. Instead of the All-Star game, I'm going to take 2 weeks off and play a tournament.
Interesting.
So does that mean come the Olympic time, they'll be able to play in the Olympics?
I got to be honest with you, Teague. I haven't done a big enough deep dive into this.
Right. Are you going to care about that? The Four Nations face-off?
I think I will be into it. You know
who are
why?
The Four Nations? U.S., Canada, and who else?
USA, Canada, I think Sweden. It's not Russia. They're freezing Russia out of
it. Yeah, damn right we are.
Maybe either the Czech Republic or Finland.
So we don't even know the Four Nations.
No, I don't care about USA and Canada.
That's funny. By the way, tonight at Madison Square Garden, if you're on your way, the Knicks are playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, so it's the return of Julius Randle. Couple of things. And I was thinking about this the other day. Forget the Knick perspective, because that was such a no-brainer. When that deal went down, my reaction was, man.
Right. The Knicks are making themselves better, and it's not even a question.
Not even a question. Say what you want about Kat. Right. You're turning Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo into Karl-Anthony Towns. What are we talking about? I still wonder what the Timberwolves were doing. They just got to the Western Conference Finals. It was finally gelling there. Why break that up for Julius Randle, who, look, Julius did a lot of good things here, but he has flaws, and I think the Timberwolves fan is seeing that. So I never understood why Minnesota did that, and it's not working for them. I was reading the other day that they're benching him a lot in crunch time.
Yeah.
Goodbye, SNY. Yes, Baseball Night in New York is next, presented by Tri-State Cadillac.
I think the hard thing to reconcile with the trade is that if you're the Knicks, what are you doing? You're subtracting, I don't know, maybe a post-presence that's not necessarily that important for your overall point total. And instead, you're getting a big who's going to rebound a ton more than Julius did, and one of the best big shooting 3-point shooters in basketball.
He's just better than Julius.
Right, but I'm just talking about replacing what you're replacing.
Yeah.
So you're replacing maybe an aggressive post presence in Julius Randle, but the points don't really matter because you can replace those in other ways. And what you're getting is an elite rebounder and a great 3-point shooter. But if you're the Minnesota Timberwolves, you're losing that with Karl-Anthony Towns, great shooter, great post presence, and what you're getting doesn't nearly compensate for what you're losing.
Right.
Like it doesn't make any sense.
And you're also doing it off of a year in which you had your greatest success.
Right.
Got to the Western Conference Finals, you won 56-57 games. So I don't get it, but if you're a Knicks fan, who cares? Not your problem. Mm-hmm. Timberwolves made that trade. Julius doesn't work there. He's already had chemistry issues with Rudy Gobert. They're not playing him down the stretch. And Dante DiVincenzo's been a disaster. He's out today with a toe issue, I think it is. Mm. But here's the real question, and I think this is easy, and I say this as an IBO, and I say this as somebody that ripped Julius Randle a lot in his time here. I was definitely advising Knick fans you should move on from him. I think I said that for a while. I think I argued with you about that, Tommy, for a long time. With that said, when this gentleman walks back into Madison Square Garden tonight, what's wrong with you if you don't cheer him? Mm. Like, I couldn't even imagine as a Knick fan not standing up, putting my hands together, and being like, thank you, Julius. Thank you, Julius. Like, forget all the bad times.
I think that happens.
It's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah.
I think it happens, too. I'm making it clear that to me it's not even like a question. Like, he is so clearly someone that while he drove you nuts when he was here and he had his bad moments, he's not here anymore, and I would appreciate what he had been here more than anything else.
Yeah, 100%. Had he had left after that year where he had that really bad year, he wasn't in the huddles, he was getting into it with fans in the stands, I think if he had left after that year, he had come back, he would have heard boos. He rehabbed his image after that, we know that, made an all-star team or two. The trade ended up working out clearly for the Knicks, but Julius, remember, I think history is going to show that, oh, Jalen Brunson turned everything around. It was really Julius that came here first, and then JB, and then obviously Josh and Kat and OG and all these other guys, but it was really Julius that did that. And I think, even though I do think there are Knicks fans that didn't think Julius was a winning player,
he's not.
They didn't like the body language.
I didn't either.
So,
but all that could be
true. But that's not a reason to boo the guy, because he never cost us like an NBA title because of all that stuff. So no reason to boo. He actually will get the tribute video and deserves the tribute video. Everybody gets a tribute video now, but he really, truly deserves
Absolutely.
It.
And I would say this. He was the first player, but the real turn was Tom Thibodeau. The hire of Thibs is really, obviously, Leon Rose as well. But
absolutely.
Tom Thibodeau changed things. And the Knicks were a playoff team with Julius Randle as their best player.